The parking lot behind Stave was full, but I didn't see the one car that would have made me turn around and leave. I had no desire to see my younger sister tonight, not that I didn't enjoy her company. Alex was fun, full of life and smart, sometimes too smart, too observant, and I didn't want to be observed. I'd much rather sneak into the wine bar, find a place to sit on the periphery of the crowded place, and watch the woman who captivated me more each time I saw her, Addison Reagan. She had worked for my sister long enough that she was promoted to manager. Since Alex had recently had a baby, she appreciated that Addie, as everyone but me called her, was willing to take on the new role. No one who knew Addison well had been surprised that she was agreeable. I knew from Alex that Addison and her mom struggled financially, not that it had ever been my business. Rather than walk in the back door used by employees, as I would have if Alex were there, I traipsed around to the front and across the bustling patio where fire pits were lit to ward off the evening's chill. I pulled my ball cap lower and kept my head down when I recognized most of those present as friends, neighbors, and business associates from the wine industry. I would still be noticed. However, my body language would communicate I wasn't interested in engaging in conversation, something not at all unusual for me. I was known as a man of few words, especially when it came to small talk. While I would have much preferred an out-of-the-way table indoors, the only open seat was at the bar. Coincidentally, my best friend, Noah Ridge, was on the stool beside it.
I hated leaving Alex at Stave by herself, but she'd insisted my coworker and best friend Sam drive me to the hospital in San Luis Obispo, where our neighbor said my mom was being taken. "Don't worry, Bricks will help," she'd said, pushing me toward the door. "I'm sorry about this," I said to Sam as we drove the half hour south. "Seriously? Don't worry about it. You do the same for me." When she bit her bottom lip, I braced myself for the question. While it was easy to make up a lie about what really went on between my mom and stepfather, I knew Sam would insist on coming into the hospital with me and would likely hear the truth for herself. She reached over and put her hand on mine. "I'm sorry, sweetie." That she hadn't asked turned out to be harder for me to deal with. That meant she already knew. As I'd anticipated, the moment I saw her, my mother spun a tale that she'd slipped and fallen down the stairs. The left side of her face was badly bruised, and it looked like a cut above her swollen eye was deep enough to require stitches. "Where's Dennis, Mom?" "He wasn't home when it happened." Not the question I asked, but okay. "What do you mean?" "I saw him at the diner this morning." "He left shortly after you did." "Where did he go?" Everything about my mother's body language indicated she was lying, particularly the way her eyes wouldn't meet mine. "San Diego. He's helping his cousins remodel their kitchen." I folded my arms. Questioning her here was pointless. I'd wait until I got her home to figure out what really happened. A woman wearing a white coat pulled the curtain of the emergency room bay and set a laptop on the room's counter. "I'm Dr. Ambrose." She loaded an X-ray image on the screen and indicated several places on my mother's right arm. "As you can see, it's broken here, here, and here." She pointed to another bone farther up. "And it appears you broke a bone here previously."